Hey everyone, welcome to the Dad Talks Podcast, the podcast where we bring dads together to share stories in order to encourage and inspire other dads to be better every day. I'm your host, JT Zrodnik. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Dad Talks. On this episode of Dad Talks, I interview Jeff Burkowski. Jeff is another guy I met through the Live Free app. Jeff is a regular contributor to the app, and so I reached out to him after reading some of his articles, and then I read his first book, Wife Magnet, and we'll get into all that. But I just want to share a quote from the interview from him really quickly, because maybe you're listening going, I do have time to listen to this hour-long episode. Yes, every minute is worth it. If you need to skim past what I say, who cares? But what Jeff says is gold. Here's a quote that Jeff says. He says, it was easier for me to stay busy than to face my inadequacies as a husband. It was easier to stay busy than to face my inadequacies as a husband. I mean, if that just doesn't hit you right between the eyes, I don't know what does. Because a lot of us can relate to that. I know it's not even just husbands. Wives can feel that way. We all want to stay busy, especially in the culture we live in. Now, if I can stay busy, I can avoid what's going on, but it's to the detriment of our families, right? We see workaholics, we see burnout. And so Jeff is very open and honest and transparent about his failures as a husband and what, you know, that led to, you know, the ending of his marriage, you know, and yes, his wife, as you hear, did some stuff as well, but he takes full responsibility for what he did. So it's an incredible interview of just hearing Jeff, you know, where he was to where he is now. And so let me just introduce Jeff really quickly, as I do with all my guests. So here's the bio that Jeff shares, because he is another big time guy that has his, you know, two books and other stuff. So here's what Jeff says about himself. He says, I was a mediocre husband for 15 years. I was a superstar at work, but Rip Van Winkle at home, sleeping through most of my married life. Today, I teach husbands how to avoid the mistakes I made. I help husbands avoid the devastation, emotional trauma, and financial bloodbath known as divorce, teaching them how to build strong and sexy marriages instead. It's kind of an obsession. He goes on and says, Jeff, I am the author of two books, host of Wife Magnet Radio, a marriage crisis coach, and a monthly contributor at Live Free. Jeff continues, says his real passion is his work with International Justice Mission. It's a human rights organization that rescues the vulnerable from sex trafficking, violence, slavery, and abuse of power. He does this because he says every man needs a battle. This is his. And lastly, says he is a full-time dad, an outdoor enthusiast, biohacker, soon-to-be sexagenarian, and a raving fan of all things kombucha. And I'm not oversharing on Facebook. You can find me in the mountains, the ocean, or Whole Foods. So I hope you enjoy my interview with Jeff Burkowski on this episode of Dad Talks. All right. So I have Jeff on the podcast. Jeff, thanks for joining me.
Great to be here.
Yeah, real quick, just who you are, what you do, and anything else. I have one question I need to ask after, because you know what it is. But yeah, go for it.
Let's see, how much of my story to share. I never planned I'd be doing what I'm doing, but the most recent version of my story is I crashed and burned my own marriage about 10 years ago. And that was a few years in the making, but it ended, I guess is the better way to say it, about 10 years ago. And today, remarkably, I help other men avoid the mistakes I made. One thing I noticed, it just seems to be pretty constant through life and the guys I talk to, is that when my wife had one foot out the door, when she was, you know, announcing her intentions to leave, so to speak, even before that, throwing up her red flags, trying to get my attention, I did everything wrong. Didn't know it at the time. You know, I wanted to save my marriage. I actually loved my wife and I loved my family, but I was only, the things that I was doing or not doing, I was only pushing her further and further away. So what I notice is that seems to be pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the things that we were never taught. So I heard a quote, maybe a week or two ago, maybe it was on Ed Milet's show or Tom Bilyeu, and someone said, the person we're most qualified to help is the person we used to be.
And I thought, wow.
I thought that is so great.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously, I guess that's assuming that at some point on our journey, we pivoted, mm-hmm. right? And we learned from our mistakes and we've grown through them and beyond them. Otherwise, I guess that quote wouldn't apply. But so that's what I do today. I help guys like me 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 15 years ago, who whose wives are slowly kind of withdrawing from the marriage emotionally and sexually. I help those guys get a better picture of what's really happening and then what to do, you know, if they want to save their marriage. So,
yeah, we'll jump into that. But the question, because it's going to be it's on the intro, is your, I can't even say the word now, that your sex word, sexitarian.
Oh,
because I know everybody's going to have, like, same as me, read that, go, wait, what?
Well, when you alluded to it just a few minutes ago, I was like, no, I don't know if I know what he's going to ask, but sexagenarian.
There it is, sexagenarian.
So yes. Yeah, I'm that's part of my bio, right? I'm looking at it right now. Full-time dad, which yep. is, here we are in Dad Talks, outdoor enthusiast, biohacker, and soon to be sexagenarian, yeah. which means I'm almost 60. That's what that means, guys. sex is a part of my distant memory. It's been a long time.
Yeah, because you see, you're like, well, maybe it's like some cool therapy thing. Oh, no, sex, 60. Yeah, okay, yep, it makes sense now.
I know, that's funny.
Because are you in Jersey?
Yeah, man, me and Carl.
You okay, that's Carl. What I thought you guys were. And then we'll date this episode, because then are yep. you a Phillies fan?
No.
Oh, so you're not celebrating Sorry. Like he is.
No, you know, he's a Eagles, Phillies, everything, Flyers. He's a Philly guy through and through. You know, I grew up in a suburb of Manhattan, even though we're on the beach. Okay. There's the North Coast train line comes through my town. So, you know, growing up in my hometown, every morning I saw all the commuters walking to the train station with their briefcases. So we're all of my family, they're all New York fans, Mets, Yankees, Giants, you get the idea. So yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, I've been to New York once. I don't ever need to go back, but just how, like, you guys, like, New Jersey, New York, which is great. Like, it's right. Yeah. Just like you said, that commute that people, I can't even imagine. Just, yeah. Oh yeah. We just jump on a train, ride in, do our thing, ride out. We're like, oh
yeah. It's a crazy city.
Yeah. I'm like, that's insane. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, so we connected through Carl with the Live Free app. And yeah. I think I reached out originally because he recommended your first book, okay. The Wife Magnet.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember that. I know in your second book, you have your number and people can reach out.
It's and in I the know, first. Also.
Okay. Maybe that's, I was trying to remember if it was through that or through the app that I reached out, because I know then you also do articles and stuff on there as well. And so I know we connected because I was like, oh man, this guy has a similar story to yep. me, which, I mean, it's not like ours is unique. It's exactly like you said, we failed, didn't do well, wife checked out and was gone. And
yeah,
you're like, yeah, there's a lot of these guys. How can we help them out?
True.
Is the biggest thing. And so, yeah, we connected through that. And so, yeah, let's jump in that. So you have Wife Magnet, which is your first book.
Yeah, I wrote that about 5 years ago.
Yep. Okay, yeah. And the idea with that, and I mean, again, it's for men, it's short, easy to read, you know, those movie quotes, all that good stuff. Yeah. But what is, because you have that one, and then now you have Better Man, Better Hero?
Better Marriage.
Better Marriage. Be the hero, yeah.
There's a hero image on the, okay. Yeah. Awaken your inner hero, right?
Yeah, and that one's great too. So, what's the differences and why, you know, Wife Magnet obviously speaks to a lot of what you're doing. Why'd you bring Better Man? How are they different? Kind of where they all, you know, just the story behind all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Where'd they come from?
Yeah.
You know, JT, when I was kind of in the aftermath of my divorce, I'm a high loyalty guy. So I took my divorce really hard. I grieved it really hard. And it really sucked. Mostly to see my family suffer and to see our kids in the pain that they were in. And so when I, quote, got off the proverbial ground, you know, when I kind of got up and because I grieved every day for, gosh, like 6 months, it seemed like, not in front of my kids. I became a single dad overnight. So, you know, I was always mindful of them and what they were going through and being strong for them. But about the 6 month mark or so, I remember just having this moment where I got up and it felt like, okay, all I know is one thing. All I can do from this point forward is take full responsibility, 100% responsibility for my contribution to the failure of my marriage. You know, so it was like, no more finger pointing, no more excuses. I have one goal moving forward. I want to be a better man on the other side of this debacle. And so that launched me into, you know, I'm on year 9 or 10 now of just this really voracious hunger to grow as a person. I don't know. I mean, it's funny. I talked to guys that I served alongside on different ministry teams for years, decades, really. And we talk about it. And it's like, how were we followers of Christ? How were we in these settings? And yet personal evolution was never a high value. Like, how did that happen? Like, doing a good job was a high value. You know, and we were committed, and deep down, I loved God and I was passionate about God, but somehow missed that part. You know, the idea of me personally honoring God, not through my work, but through me personally just growing and wanting to become a better man. After my divorce, I took 18 months off and I lived off of savings. And again, I alluded to the first one, but I made two decisions. And one was, I'm going to be a better man on the other side of this. I'm going to learn everything I can. I'm going to stretch myself. I'm going to go deep. And number two was, I'm going to shepherd the hearts of my kids and kind of help the best I can, help them, help walk them through this family fracture, so to speak. So I took 18 months off just to be with myself. I had been a workaholic for a long time. That's kind of the surface story. The layer just under that, just under the surface, the deeper truth is, it was easy for me to stay busy. It maybe easier is the word. It was easier for me to stay on the hamster wheel, always moving, than it was to face my inadequacies as a husband. That was hard. That was a challenge I wasn't up for, right? But I could do the work hard thing. You know, I could do the burn myself out thing, unfortunately. So I took 18 months off for my own soul and then to be really hands-on with my kids. I knew, especially during this time in their ages, I needed to be there every morning, getting them out of bed, making school lunches, having breakfast with them, getting them to school, being there when they got home from school, talking about the day, helping them with their homework, making dinner with them, watching a movie together. You know, I knew that had to happen. I didn't know it was going to be 18 months. But so bringing all that to this point, I was journaling. I was taking soul care classes. I was, like I said, going deep. Where did this come from? This workaholism, this unwillingness to kind of face my inadequacies, always having my guard up. Where did all that come from? And about a year later or so, I was on the phone with a close friend in Los Angeles, because I had lived in LA for 24 years. And we talked together, we prayed together from time to time. And he was having a specific challenge in his marriage. And I shared something with him. And he was like, oh, that's really good. I'm going to put that to work. A few weeks later, we talked and he was giving me an update. And then he had some other things that he brought to the surface about his marriage and his challenges as a husband. And I shared something else with him because he was asking for my input. And at one point he stopped me and he said, are you reading from something? I said, yeah. And he said, what are you reading from? I want to get this book. He said, is it what you read from 3 weeks ago? And I said, yeah. I said, it's my journal. It's not a book. It's just my journal. It's some of the hard lessons I learned in the aftermath of my divorce. And so he was the first one that put that idea in my head, like, dude, you should probably make a little book of this. And your story might be able to help some other guys. So that's where Wife Magnet came from. And it kind of is my story and some of the hard lessons I learned in the aftermath of my divorce. You read it. It's very personal. And 5 years later, after coaching other men for 5 years, writing for Live Free and different organizations, I just had a lot of content and stories now from clients, not just my stuff, but certain things I'd help clients walk through. And I just thought, man, this is better than the first book. Not that that would have been hard. You know, I mean, the first book's got some strong points, I think, but it's not like it's an amazing book or anything. But I really like the second one. It feels stronger to me. And so, yeah, that's kind of my long answer to both of the books and how they came to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wife Magnet is, yeah, it was, I mean, it's great. It's definitely kind of just like a short pamphlet of like, all right, here you go. Here's how to get something going. And then Better Man, you know, is kind of the theology and some of it. I don't know if theology, but more of, yeah, I mean, they're both amazing. I mean, they're short chapters. And that's, like I've said, I was going to use them for the interview. I was like, nope, I've given them away and they've been passed and passed. That's great. I have no idea where those books are, but the Better Man, I think I was telling you, I was talking to a friend about it. He's like, exactly like your friend. Like, hey, what are you getting that from? I was like, oh, it's this book I was reading. You should check it out. Yeah. He took it. He's read it. He passed it to a guy he's mentoring. And
oh, that's cool.
So yeah. And I like him because, they are very personal. And I think that's, you know, you can speak to that, what men want. You know, and I wanting to with this podcast of like, yeah, it's not perfect. You know, the perfect example is I did a men's study. Oh man, I don't know why someone had me lead this. I think a year after the divorce, like, hey, you can help people.
Yeah.
Which I could, but I was really more just bitter because, you know, you go through these Christian things. It's like, well, if you do this, this, and this, the result will be, hey, it'll work out. Yeah, she'll listen.
It'll all work out.
I was like, no, it's not. And I really like what you said. It's the personal evolution thing to where that's what I feel. I know in myself, yeah, I missed too, to where I knew all the right answers. And that's where I'm at now of like, yeah, but it didn't work. I didn't change. I was working so much. And so, yeah, I'm with it to where I've gotten into, have you read any of Ryan Holiday's stuff?
I love Ryan Holiday. Okay. I just sent one of my, I call it the best 2 minutes on the internet. Have you seen his two?
That's why
video?
I got, yeah. Cause you sent it to me. You're,
oh,
yeah,
I sent that to
I
you.
Blame you now. That's right. Because you sent it to me and I was like, I'm buying these books now. And so I got The Obstacle is the Way. I finished that. And then I'm starting what's it? Ego is your enemy or ego?
Ego is the enemy. I have Ryan Holiday's videos playing just in the background. Like when I'm preparing dinner or washing dishes or cleaning the kitchen, it's like, I'm just like feeding my brain with his stuff.
I was gonna say real quick.
If any of your listeners want to check out that video, it's called You Control How You Play.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Holiday, You Control How You Play. It's like 2 minutes and 40 seconds. And it's one of the little tools that changed my life. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there before we moved on. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, and that's, yeah, I watched that video and like, oh man, but it's that whole thing to where it's not necessarily, because this is the one of conversations I had with a couple of my buddies as I went through this, and I don't know if you can relate to where in the midst of your divorce, I know Jesus is the answer. Like, I know it, but it's also like, it didn't. Yeah,
what does that mean?
It wasn't like he's not that Jesus is inadequate. It's just like, okay, he loves me, he cares for me, but how do I move forward? How do I get off the ground? How do I become better at this stuff? And so, yeah, you know, the self care of, Peter Skarsgård stuff, you know, working through that to where like the emotional side of things, I don't know, like, I mean, you've noticed it in church, like, what, how are you helping guys where, yeah, it's like, yeah, Jesus is the answer, but I almost feel wrong to say there's more.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Cause I agree 100% with of the personal evolution, but it's always kind of a weird thing to try to induce into Christian circles. Cause like, well, we have the Bible and Jesus, isn't that enough? And you're like, yes, but is it because,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. How do you marry those two or how do you address that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. My mind's going in three different directions. That's why I'm pausing. I don't like to use the word shame, but it's kind of a colloquialism. But isn't it a shame that the church doesn't lead in what you're describing? Like, shouldn't we, of all people, men and women who want to honor God and become more like Christ, right? Shouldn't we lead in this area? And I've found, and again, I could be looking in the wrong places, but I've been in church culture. What's considered fairly progressive church culture, and by progressive, I don't mean non-biblical or liberal. Yeah. I just mean like we want to be a part of. We want to infiltrate culture. I guess that's the best way to.
You guys say cuss words.
Yeah. No, I'm not allowed to do that though. Much in the church setting.
I love, like, you and Carl and your books and your writings, it comes out, and it's not inappropriate, but it's just like,
right.
Thank you. That's how men
are
speaking. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's good. Yeah, man, JT, I even take it a little more extreme, meaning if your Christianity, I say this sometimes to clients. I mean, I had a guy about a year and a half ago get kind of miffed at me initially because I was talking to him about a morning routine, right? So my coach calls my AM and PM bookends, mm-hmm. right? How I start my day and how I end my day are really important to me. So I was talking to him about having a morning routine that was life-giving, that was going to help him be more self-aware as a man, more tuned into his spouse, more tuned into his own heart. How am I doing today? What are my priorities today? What happened yesterday that I didn't like? What can I fix? What can I address? And he was giving me pushback because it was gonna kind of squash, so to speak, his quiet time, his morning quiet time. And he would spend an hour reading scripture and then watching a video by a favorite kind of pastor teacher. And I said, well, let's do this. Put that down for 6 months. And he wouldn't put it down initially for a day. And I said to him, I said, Pat, if the morning routine you've had of being in scripture and listening to sermons for the last 10 years assisted you, helped you, I don't even know what the right word there is, but got you to the point where your wife called me and said, I'm done. I don't want anything to do with this man. Then you kind of get where I'm going, like,
yeah, like kind of it's gently like, just backhanding going, hey,
yeah, it's just yep. like maybe your quiet time is not what it's supposed to be. Maybe it needs to be revamped. Maybe mm-hmm. it needs to be revolutionized, probably, you know. Go ahead.
What Holiday says, I think it's the end of the book where he talks about like philosophy. You know, he says it's not just something you read or whatever. It's the, you know, an extension of your life. And it's, you know, the best weapon isn't, you know, sword. It's, you know, it's your closed fist of essentially being able to use what you have right in life. To where I'm like,
yes,
I think that's, I was like, yeah, that's a lot of what we're missing. It speaks to your client of like, yeah, we read it, but we don't do anything with it. And it, right. or it doesn't become, a part of life to where you're like, There's got to be something that switches it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Spiritual disciplines, right? The whole mm-hmm. concept. And again, the intention is great, right? But it can, as you know, and I know, it can devolve into the two or three things I do and kind of check off to be a, quote, good Christian. And what about being a great man? You know, mm-hmm. Do they go together? They can, but so often that little routine can become very insular and not very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I mean, dude, I mean, we can just put it all on the table, right, on this podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was a guy that was in church every Sunday from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. for decades, and I took a year off. I was like, wow, Sundays are amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
And again, it wasn't about what I was leaving. It was about how can I become a healthier and better me? And if in any way, not so much this culture, because I'm not pointing the fingers, but if me in this culture was unhealthy, if me in this culture helped reinforce my blind spots because I was never mm-hmm. challenged, I was never held accountable, I was in a leadership role, and that must mean I'm amazing or beyond reproach or something. So it was really, it wasn't me having disdain toward church culture, Christianity. It was me just saying, all right, I'm going to go back, but I want to go back as a different person, right? I want to go mm-hmm. back and bring some of these healthy new habits with me. So that's what I did. I was out of church, again, out of church for a year.
Yeah. Yep.
But I was still talking to my two or three closest friends who are brothers in Christ and who love me as much as I love myself. I was talking to them twice a day, you know, every mm-hmm. day, every other, you know. So I never, you know, left church, but I left that kind of setting of church busyness and church stuff and church things that we do, which so often, unfortunately, can contribute to us being a little, I think, unconscious or a little bit on autopilot, you mm-hmm. know, if we're not careful. So,
man, it like, yeah, how our stories keep matching, because that's the season that just came to me the other day. Because yeah, it was the same. I was in church forever. And I mean, you're Sunday, you're there at this time, you're leaving at this time. And like, you know, everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And once you get out of it, people, you know, these church people are like, well, why didn't you come? I'm like, I don't know about it. But yeah, then my daughters had, you know, softball. And we didn't go, or we missed, or we're going to just stay home because we're just tired. You know, today, does that mean we don't love church? No, like we can do some stuff, but let's
right
reevaluate why we're going. And yeah, it's just like you said, of as you get out of it and begin to see, not necessarily like pointing the finger and oh, you guys are failures, but going,
yeah,
my own self of like,
right,
oh yeah, now I know what, you know, how I acted, why I thought, mm-hmm. why I did these things. And now you're an outsider where I'm like, man, a lot of pastors, if they could just step out and go, oh, here's what it's like. As yeah. you know, and not that they're not real people, but it is a little different when you're just in that, you know, as you said, kind of isolated, insulated bubble a little bit to where it is. I mean, I wouldn't. Yeah. And that's the other weird thing. I know we've talked about this. You can hit it. Like, I wouldn't wish my divorce on anybody.
Yeah.
But it's to the fact, like, you know, the masterclass thing you sent me, I've read that numerous times. There's so much gold in that thing. But I think, you know, they're kind of connected where you say you should take your marriage out back and shoot it in the head. Mm. Right. And yeah. So saying that, you know, for me, it took a divorce to shake it up and get me to go, oh my goodness, like here's these yeah. issues that I have.
Yeah.
That were leading to an unhealthy marriage, you know, and like you said, take full responsibility. But I don't know if I would have ever got there without it, you know? And so that, I don't know how you speak to the guys or help, you know, speaking to that of like, how do you help, or I guess ask this, can you have the change without the trial?
Whew.
Right. I mean, like, I don't think I'd be here speaking to you today if I hadn't gone through what I did, which it was awful, but where I'm at now is amazing.
Yeah.
But I would have never been here because I was forced to begin to be introspective and process through to where that's where you look at a lot of these guys that, you know, say, oh, hey, you know, this is bad. And how do you, I mean, yeah, some of them you just want to shake and you're like, how do I get you to understand? I don't know if there's anything, not really a question. I'm just kind of with you.
I think it's probably a both and. Meaning, yeah. I think there's a group of guys like you and I who are so stuck and are so, you know, like this, just tunnel vision. Because like I said, my wife was throwing up the red flags or shooting mm-hmm. shooting the red flares into the sky, right? So I think for you and I, that it probably had to happen because we were so asleep at the wheel, you know. Again, mm-hmm. I use that word autopilot a lot because it's become a big word to me in the last 7 or 8 years. But I think you'd also agree, although you and I are far from done, far from perfect, far from finished, I bet it's a lot easier to get your attention now because of some of the things you've learned in your own crash and burn and some of your new habits. I mean, even starting this podcast, right? This is the work of someone who says, hey, I'm not perfect, but I'm awake in a way that I wasn't awake before. So I can help. I want to help some guys who are maybe not as far gone as I was, or maybe not as far gone as Jeff was. I mean, that's why I write these books, right?
Yeah.
To kind of be that maybe red flare in the sky for the guy who needs to wake up before he does lose everything. So yeah, I think there are guys, just because of where they're at and where they've been for decades, they've been asleep for so long, it probably is going to require that. And then I think there are guys like you and I now who are kind of on this journey and have no intention of ever going back, right?
Yeah.
And you and I both do things in our daily lives now. If it's meditation, if it's sitting with a journal, I do that every night. If it's ice cold showers, right? Where I do things now, I've built things into my daily life because I'm so determined to keep learning, keep growing. And again, it wasn't a high value before. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good truth there that, yeah, there's some of us that take it. Because then the other question, and you've, yeah, speaking of it, of how do you, just speaking to some guys to where it's, oh man, I don't know how you, it's just tricky again in the Christian world that it's okay. I wouldn't say okay for their marriage to fail because it's almost, it's not inevitable, but it's gonna, so I guess here's how to ask to where there's guys, you know, I've had some in the group.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm doing this, this, and this, but she's not responding, which again, there I go back to what Jeff says. Don't worry about her. Do you and focus on you and then continue to ask questions like, well, do this. Oh, I mean, yeah, but not that bad. And you're like, okay, you're still making excuses, but you know, those guys of saying, yeah, let's say they did call you and they do all this stuff and the marriage still fails. How do you, I guess, comfort them, or how do you kind of, cause one, so the question, yeah, how do you comfort them? But then also you have the Christian world that's like divorce is the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
And so how do you, you know, especially us guys of like, well, I didn't choose this, but it happened. So how do I move forward and how do I kind of respond to people that are like, yeah, you're just a failure?
Hmm. Yeah, man, that's a good one. I'm pretty clear on when I start working with a guy, I'm pretty clear on the end goal, right? And I want to help him get clear on the end goal, which is you are starting today a new path, right? So this is JT 2.0, and it's never going to end. And beyond that, we don't control anything, right? Beyond what you and I do every day to become better men. it's all outside of our control. So part of it is acceptance. And I think the other part of it is, if that's the goal that you and I as men learn to love ourselves, respect ourselves because of the choices we're making, the paths that we're on. To me, that has to be the bigger goal or the bigger why. Again, because whether the marriage is restored or not is number one outside of our control.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, you and I both know guys in my marriage, I went through some crunch times and we ended up staying together, but because I hadn't changed, it was still unsatisfying for her and for me. It was still flat. It was still terrible. And I've also seen men and women come together after a divorce. You know, I've seen guys walk the divorce plank, so to speak, and there be new life on the other side of that death.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it happen with women where the divorce is finalized and they're able to kind of like exhale in a sense, right? Because they have this idea, whether it's valid or not, that he's just scrambling right now. This isn't real. This is all about him just wanting to, you know, get me back. And as soon as I come back, it's all going to go back to being the way it was. So for a lot of women, it's after the divorce that they're able to actually kind of take a fresh look and go, this could be 6 months later, it could be 2 years later, mm-hmm. and go, wow, I think he really is different. This is strange. I'm having feelings for him again. This mm-hmm. this doesn't make sense, you know? So I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah. And there's not, yeah, necessarily, it's just one that I've, yeah, processed of going, how do you, mainly because I asked the question myself of like, yeah, how do I reconcile, I guess, in my own head, you know, because, I don't know, and I'm, you know, I'm not bashing the church, or I love the church and it's fantastic, but, you know, I grew up in the divorce world because my parents divorced, and the messages and the stuff we've heard, and, you know, then you teach it. And you say one thing, you know, then it happens. You're like, eh, maybe we can, you know, change this a little bit. But then, because I just am curious, speak, you know, with men and women and marriage, you know, if the church, the message it's saying about marriage, if that's leading to part of the problem too, because I just, you know, the church, I think, is getting a little better, but there's always that message of like, your better half. Or you know, you complete and do this to where, you know, right. you're more of, no, you need to be whole. And when you're whole come together and create something new, but you don't really hear a lot of that of like, if you, it almost seems counterproductive. If Jeff just focuses on Jeff becoming the better man, it's going to make this marriage better instead of, nope, you need to focus all your time on her.
Right.
To make it better. Because, yeah, I don't, you know, so I don't know if that's.
Yeah, it's a good point. That's a good point. I, you know, looking back, I think it's easy, maybe especially in the church world, it's almost like, don't we think of marriage almost like as this separate entity?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm me, that's my wife, and then there's this, we have this thing called marriage. One of the things that I learned early on is just this simple idea, my marriage gets better when I get better.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been saying that in different ways, you know, throughout this. Yeah, no, I do understand your concern as far as the church world. I've had the great fortune of being a part of a very redemptive community,
mm-hmm.
very grace-filled community, a very kind of like, hey, life is messy. And from the top to the bottom, from the lead pastor to the person who just walked in the door, you know, we've got no stones to throw. We're here to help you on your journey of loving God and drawing closer to God and honoring Him. And I've had the fortune of not being like kind of pushed aside or cast out or made to feel any different or less than because I've been through a divorce,
mm-hmm.
which is great. And I think we see that in culture too, right? Like, how often do you and I see someone in the news, whether it's a quarterback or a coach or an actor or an actress, stand up genuinely and own something? How often do we see that and think, what a loser? You know,
yeah.
If anything, we have the opposite, right? Our respect for that person yep. goes up. So I see that in the world. I'm very open. I talk very openly about my crap, and, it never pushes anyone away. If anything, I get people saying to me, how can I contact you? You know?
Yeah.
So fortunately, I'm a part of a church and have been for years that kind of runs that way, which is great. Which mm-hmm. is great.
Yeah. Which I think there'd be a lot more healthier people and marriages if we could accept that. Because I think, I mean, that's part, you know, like talking to Carl and, you know, just with guys and sexual addiction and porn, they're hiding it, trying to control instead of going, hey, here it is. Or, you know, in this case, like you're talking about marriages, the guy's coming going, look, I'm failing terribly.
Yeah.
But then there's not a huge response. Again, I speaking in my own, you know, place that we've had guys, you know, I did it. It's failing. I need help. And it's kind of like, yeah. Oh, pray more, read your Bible. And
like, right.
Again, not bad stuff, but I think part of it is one. Yeah. We haven't necessarily processed through it or know what to do with it. Cause it is. Yeah. It's like, yeah. The divorce people, I'm not speaking against my church. They're like, we don't know what to do because it is kind of a weird.
Yeah.
Place that you're in, how do we help you out? Because most of the time divorce people are like, I don't know. I just I just need a hug, but there's right. more, you know, to it, but of just getting to where we could, yeah, be open and going, hey, my marriage is just awful. And for us to be able to just go, okay, that's honestly fine. But how do we move forward and not just like, oh my goodness, completely go into, you know, state of emergency and just freak out of going, all right, what do we need to do to move forward? Cause yeah. And I don't necessarily know why, at least in my own personal, you know, side, there's a hesitancy to dive into the secular and go, okay, well, let's look at what's going on inside of you. Yeah. You know, so that never happened with me, but for myself, when I started looking, going, which I knew, you know, I have the porn issue, I have dad issues, I have shame issues, and you start taking those. So anytime she says, hey, you didn't do this right, right? You get flooded with, right? Oh man, she hates me, I'm a failure, I'm this,
I'm a screw. Yeah.
No. All she said, you know, and so I'm assuming that's a lot of what you're doing, of just helping guys work through their stuff to go, it's not, I guess, most of the time in marriages, it's not like some big thing that's ruining it, right? It's not.
Yeah. It's just the death of a thousand cuts. Exactly. Yeah,
it's just those little things that you're helping guys go, hey, look, you know, I can speak of one friend, his wife's upset and like, well, did you tell her you're going to do this? Yeah. Did you do it? No. Hmm. Do you see why she's getting upset? She's continuing to have to tell you. And I think it's in your book. I think you said, you know, where your wife doesn't want to be your babysitter. I feel like that, something you would say, you know, to where that's a lot of the issue, you know, gals are to, and yeah. And I don't know what happened to us men to where we're just kind of, weak. And these, why is she upset? She's babysitting you. Why don't you go be a man?
Right. Well, it's funny because I haven't written about this yet. Unless, did you read my post on Live Free from last week about women testing men?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I did tell a story in there about a current client where he was complaining because his wife mothers him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would get angry and say, stop talking to me like a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I had only been working with him for a week or two. And then one Monday, in the space of an hour, he overslept. He missed my scheduled phone call with him. He was running late for work. He left his lunch that his wife had made and left out for him. He left it at home. And in his haste, he knocked over his toolbox on the front porch. So all of his tools and little, you know, socket heads are all over the garden. And he's out there going nuts. And then he gets in his truck late for work and starts driving and realizes he left the address. He doesn't have the address. So now he's calling his wife for the address. And when she got a little prickly with him over the phone, he took issue, like, stop talking to me like a child. I'm like, dude, you can't do that because your whole life is saying, mother me.
Mm-hmm.
I have no compass of my own. I can't even get up on time. I'm a complete mess. I'm a 12-year-old, and yet stop mothering me, right? So, yeah, we kind of do that, unfortunately. I think the pain, it's facing the pain of, in my case, it was feeling very inadequate, you know, but fill in the blank. It's facing the pain of feeling not enough, or do I really measure up? Or and most of it's childhood wounding, I think, you know.
Why do you think we avoid that? I mean, there's some self-defense a little bit of like, we don't want to go there because it hurts. But, you know, why is it we just avoid that so much? Or is it just so easy now in our culture to just go veg on Netflix or scroll and just avoid the fact that, I feel inadequate or I hate my job or whatever, instead of like, okay, I don't like something, let's fix it.
Yeah, you made a great point. There are just so many ways, easy, accessible, in our hand ways to medicate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's an overall weakness, to use your word from a few minutes ago. I think it's because we don't have a vision, a compelling vision to be better men or the kind of men that we could be. You know, guys hire me and they think the first thing I'm going to do is give them all these great marriage tips. And there are some of those up front, but most often it's just saying, okay, who have you been? Great, or maybe not so great, but now describe who you want to be moving forward, because that we can do something about. Mm-hmm. Is it going to take time? Yeah, it's going to take time. You know, we're rewiring the circuitry. You know, and as you know, it's all about consistency and doing something over and over and over again. And really, it's I love James Clear, the author of Atomic Habits. You're a mm-hmm. reader, but he boils personal behavior or personal change into two simple steps. Number one, you know this, it's decide who you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, prove it to yourself with small wins. Small mm-hmm. wins.
Yeah.
Right? So anybody can do that. Mm-hmm. So, but that's my answer to your question. I just think it wasn't modeled for us, right? Most of us grew up in homes where we didn't have the adults around us leaning into criticism, leaning into difficulty and discomfort for the higher purpose of becoming better people, whether that's dad or mom. We just didn't have it modeled for us. What was modeled for us was most likely what you and I have been talking about. Defensiveness, stonewalling, passive aggressiveness. You know, when my dad was upset, the reason I knew about it, it wasn't because we had a constructive conversation. It's because he would slam his bedroom door and disappear
mm-hmm.
for the day. You know, so we had plans to do this and this and this. He would just cut you off. And then at night, we always had dinner together as a family. Growing up in the 70s, I was the oldest of five kids. And then as a little kid, as a 12-year-old, 8-year-old, I'd come to the dinner table petrified because my last exchange with my dad was some yelling and then a slam door and then him basically, you know, disappearing. So I would show up to the dinner table with this fear because nothing was resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And we would all sit down and act like everything was great and we'd have dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I mean, can you imagine how confusing that would be for a 5 or 6 or 8 or 12-year-old kid?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I guess this is how we handle conflict. We just ignore it. We don't talk about it. So
mm-hmm.
that's my experience. And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure we all have something fairly similar to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's been my biggest catalyst and the thing that's kind of kept me going the last 9 years. And I only put it in the terms of 9 years, not to sound like it's been a long time, because it doesn't feel that way. I'm just giving it some, you know, a timeline. But it's this real conviction and commitment I have just to keep growing
mm-hmm.
and to never stop and to really, I've found so much fulfillment in that. You know, I mean,
yeah,
it's wonderful. Growing and becoming better is like, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. it's really awesome. So,
yeah, so that's, I mean, it's similar to like Carl says, you know, just thinking with our addictions and then, you know, how do I have a better marriage to where it's not anything very complex. It's just going, okay, here's where you were. Where do you want to be?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you get there? And I mean, that's any guy can do that, but yeah, just, it speaks to the need for community and accountability of saying, okay, you know, let's band. And it's what men want of like, okay, here's, you know, we're fighting together
yeah.
to go get this, but it's not that complex. It's just, yeah, they need some guy that says, hey, look, this is where you're at. How do you move forward? And then, yeah, you're just now helping them of, well, the guy you are is the guy I was back then. And here's how I did it and can help you out and take what I have and, you know, move forward that way to where it's not rocket science.
It's not. And if it comes from that place of getting better, it just becomes easy. One of mm-hmm. my mantras, one of my simple mantras is never a loss, always a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Never a loss, always a lesson. I had something happen yesterday where I acted like a dick for a few minutes. And didn't like how I treated someone. And in the past, that would have messed me up for days and weeks. And it would have really bothered me. Instead, I went to that person. We talked about it. And it's because of my mantra, never a loss, always a lesson. So rather than beat myself up and rather let this be a perpetuation of the old story, I'm actually going to turn it into a launching pad of my new story, which is I'm always learning, I'm always growing, I'm always getting better. That's one of the chief ways that I'm honoring God as a man.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to pull some great things out of it and replay it in my head. I call it reviewing game film. And so next time I'm in a similar situation, I already have mapped out in my brain how I will handle that, what I will say and what I won't say. So, yeah. And again, it just comes from that place of always leaning forward, loving criticism, loving to, you know, I mean, part of my morning prayer is, Holy Spirit, stretch me today, knowing it's going to lead to stuff like yesterday.
Yep.
Not that God was the source of it. That was me and my sin. But knowing that God's going to use that to help me go, that's an ugly part of my soul that I need to look at and ask God to heal and ask God to help me grow past, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so just wrapping this up. Yeah. I mean, that's sanctification. Like, that's what I don't, it's so weird that we can't, for you to say personal growth or evolution, people are like, that's
that sounds new agey or something.
Yeah. But you're like, all you just described is sanctification of saying, okay, here is the Spirit, the Spirit, you know, pointing out, here is an issue you had.
Yeah.
What can you do better? Okay. Now you're growing. Help me to be better every, like, that's the whole call of Christian, that you're supposed to get better. But yeah, for some reason we overcomplicate it, or just honest. I mean, it's just laziness to where you don't want, because it's, I mean, that's the holiday book to where I hated his thing of like, yeah, when you go, you know, forward and do these obstacles, more are going to come,
right?
Because you're trying new things, but it's going to teach you, and this is the better way to go. Like, no, I'd rather just stay here. But it's, you know, I liked his illustration. Well, now I can't remember who he quoted, but the quote of, you know, the fire burns up the very thing it was feeding on.
Yes.
To become bigger and greater, towards like, this is just how it is. You're like, oh man, it's just another one. You're like, this is stupid. I don't want to do this. Cause, you know, and I've said it to God numerous times, where like, I'm done learning lessons. Like, I just want to be, can we just be done? And it's like, no, you have more to learn, but you're like, but it's so painful. Like, yeah, but imagine, you know, think back where you were.
Yeah.
Do you want to be back there where you're at? And you're like, okay, yes, I want to do the work to where I'm at, because it's exactly like you said, to where it gets easier, to where same thing. I had, you know, and being in, you know, service work, people are amazing. I love working with people. But, and I had, you know, a disagreement and some issues. Sure. And did the same thing of going, okay, what can I learn from this for next time to avoid it? Because it was, I mean, awful, to the point to where, I'm getting a 1-star review from this person. And it's, you're like, okay, but, and same with you, to where it's not crippling to me like it used to be, of going, okay, here's what it is. How can we use this as a learning lesson? How can we use it to, you know, move forward, to where it's the same as in life, to where with my kids have gone, okay, I just, freaked out on my kid the other day. Why do we do that? Well, let's see. It was, because I was upset because they were challenging me. So then I, okay, let's go back. Okay, let's apologize. Let's work through, you know, that's just life, just this back and forth and this continual growth, instead of, I screwed up again. Let's just sit here in the shame and pout and whine and slam a door and then stay there. And then it just festers, instead of saying, no, let's kill it. Okay, move on. Next thing. Instead of all this baggage we carry with ourselves that just crush us. And you're like, why? Why did we ever live this way? It's awful.
It is awful. You know what? I think I had to fundamentally change my relationship with pain. And you just talked about it so eloquently. I end my new book with a chapter called, I think, Choose Your Pain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that famous Jim Rohn quote, actually, and I just pulled it up. There are two pains in life. The pain of discipline, or let's just say doing hard shit.
Mm-hmm.
The pain of doing stuff we don't want to do. The pain of moving toward discomfort. or the pain of regret.
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, one weighs ounces, the other weighs tons. You know, so I think you and I probably, and much of the guys listening, we grew up with this idea that I can avoid pain.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes almost like not a life goal, but it becomes something we're always managing versus accepting the idea that no, pain's inevitable. It's coming. And so I can either have some kind of control is usually used in a negative sense, right? But I can kind of choose mm-hmm. your pain. I can kind of choose the temporary immediate pain of getting up and going to the gym when I don't feel like it, running even when it's raining or sleeting where you live.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to experience the pain of that diagnosis or losing my health or, you know, again, whatever the case may be. So that's really helped me realizing that, okay, I get to choose. We actually have a choice. We get to choose the good kind of pain instead mm-hmm. of the bad. And you and I have had our share, right? Because of our poor choices along the way of bad pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's you say it numerous times in your book. That's the line from you that killed me of, you know, where you're standing in front of the judge and you said the biggest pain wasn't the fact that the divorce was over and it was final. It was the regret knowing she'll never know the new me. And it was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, even when I think of it now, that just hits me in the stomach. You're like, gosh, like that's heavy, you know, but it's a lot of what you spoke of to where we can choose. What are we going to do? And in marriage, we can either choose, okay, let's avoid and not deal with this, or going, okay, yep, this sucks right now.
Right.
But in the end, you know, to get that long-term goal of going, and I've said that to numerous people that are like, hey, I want to get it, you know, not lightly of like, I'm done, I'm tired, let's divorce. You have no idea
mm-mm.
what's coming, you know, to where you think this is a little easier to get you out of this pain, but it's going to create a whole nother set. So why not just do some of it now to make it better in the end is...
I love that. But even beyond divorce, meaning even for the guy who will never face divorce, the principle still applies. And I know you'd agree. It's like, I either choose the pain of my wife's displeasure right now. You know, maybe you had a phone call with her on the way home from work and you know you're walking into a bit of a firestorm. So it's like, I either choose to face the pain of that and learn what I can and actually turn it into a connection moment with my spouse, or I walk in the door instead of going to find her because she knows I know that she's upset. So she's probably off in a corner of the house folding laundry, mm-hmm. right? So I can play that game and avoid the pain of facing her and just avoid her and check out and maybe put on my running clothes and just leave the house and don't even tell her. And if I do that, I'm still creating greater pain. The next few days are going to suck,
mm-hmm.
right? Yep. Where I could have walked in the front door and faced the pain of her displeasure and probably have worked through it in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're acting like lovers and she's smiling and we're holding each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we avoid that little pain and we sign up for like 3 or 4 days of worse pain, you know, and that low level chronic resentment and stress just running through the house. It's like, oh, I used to tie my stomach in knots and anyway, I don't know how I did it, but
yeah. And it, yeah. So, so we're coming up on our hour. I mean, I could talk to you forever because, it's a lot of good stuff. And as I said, your books are fantastic. The guys who check them out. So I'll have all of that in the links, but we'll just wrap, we'll finish up with the rapid fire questions. So do you have a favorite TV or movie dad?
You know, JT, you're going to hate me. I could not think of anything. And you know, I even asked a few friends. I could not think of a dad. I just haven't watched TV much in so long.
Yeah.
I was racking my brain. So that's the only one I'm going to say pass. I am so sorry.
That's fine. Cause I for me, it's easy. Cause I go back to all like, you know, Tim, the Tool Man Taylor, to Uncle okay. Phil, you know, to those guys where I'm like, oh yeah. And, but then who did, Carl's was, oh man, I can't even remember. It wasn't completely inappropriate. There was, he's like, I just like this scene. Like, yeah, I guess that makes sense, but sure. Okay.
You know, I thought of a few dads, but then I was like, nah, he was kind of a weenie. Nah, he was kind of soft. Nah, he was kind of, anyway.
Yeah.
So,
and you have it in your bio, but some of the hobbies you enjoy.
Yeah, man. I just like to stay active as a soon to be sexagenarian. So I like to be outside a lot. And I play guitar. I have my dad instilled in me a great love for Lennon and McCartney for the Beatles. Mm-hmm. So I play my guitar a lot, learn new songs. I just love learning like new songs. Again, it's just ways to as much as I enjoy it, it's a way to kind of push my brain toward the unfamiliar, which is something I do intentionally every day, even if it's, you know, picking up a glass with my opposite hand or working on my computer, holding the mouse with my opposite hand. So, anyway, I'm rambling. These are rapid fire questions. Sorry.
But I was curious because you do the kombucha, like you make your own.
No, I've got a buddy and I've gotten lazy. I've got a buddy a mile away who makes it and I get gallon jugs from him. But, yeah, I love kombucha.
Cause I've tried to step in that world.
It's fermented tea.
Okay, that's
what. And what happens is just like if it's fermented vegetables or sauerkraut or something, it's loaded with naturally occurring enzymes and probiotics.
Okay.
So it's one of the superfoods that I enjoy. Yeah.
Okay.
Kombucha. Oh, that's right. I mentioned kombucha.
Yeah, because you said you love it and all that, and I was like, and I've had some because I had a friend of mine. She drinks it all the time, but she would get those like, there's like the shots you can get at like some of the grocery stores. And I remember she was talking because it has like cayenne pepper and her kids love it. She let them drink, didn't think about it, and they're like, oh, our mouth's on fire. But I've done that numerous times because
Fire cider. I think they call that fire cider because it's a shot. Kombucha, you can drink just like you were drinking a soda. It goes down easy. That fire cider is apple cider vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Which is loaded with probiotics because it's a fermented, you know, product. But there's cayenne in there. There's garlic. There's mashed garlic in there. It's it's pretty intense.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, it can only be a shot because it's a lot. Yeah. All right. So fill in the blank. A dad is
someone who calls out the best in his children, calls them to rise to a higher place. Places big demands on them, knowing that big demands lead to big gains. Mm. And I mean, with grace, right?
You're going to be in the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll get there.
Yeah.
Big demand. I like that.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, that goes back. I mean, that's your mantra, like, right? Of where you're wanting your kids to continue to grow.
Right.
And meet stuff. So that's great. What's the best piece of dad advice you've ever received, read, heard?
Be present. Put your hands on them a lot. Touch them a lot. Hold them a lot. Get in their space a lot. Look in their eyes a lot. It's probably similar to advice for a husband. Right. Be involved in their world. Be involved in their world, really, is probably another
paying
way to
attention.
Say it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which on that side note, because I've told you that I've taken a lot of your husband advice and I go, well, I'll just use it. My kids, you know, of hey, what is going on? Let's, you know, figure out their feelings. What's the emotion? What's the deeper issue? And I've used several of them. Like, okay, if this works on a spouse, it has to work on a kid. Yeah, it's good stuff. And it's, you know, practice to where if I ever get remarried, going, hey, so working on the kids, it becomes natural. So,
yeah,
great. What brings you pride as a dad?
What brings me pride as a dad is, you know, it's simple. It's seeing my kids really enjoy and find fulfillment in whatever they do.
Mm.
Right. So my son is real creative. He's probably not going to launch a business or, you know, earn $1 million, But he makes videos, he writes music, he plays his guitar, he does electronic stuff. And man, when he's in that zone, 10 hours go by and he just loves it. And he brings his work to me and he shares it and he's so proud. So yeah, I would say that, seeing them really kind of find what they love and, gravitate toward it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then last one, what's the story you want your kids to tell their kids about you?
Oh, okay. So this one I actually took a photo for. So I have in my bedroom, I have a few things on the wall that I look at a few times a day. One is the movie poster for Last of the Mohicans. I don't know if you can picture it. I'll send it to you.
Yep.
Daniel Day-Lewis with a knife in one hand and a tomahawk in the other hand.
Yep.
So that's one of my identity pictures. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is I look at that photo and I say, I'm a great warrior fighting for those who are unable to fight for themselves.
Mm.
So that's part of who I am. That's part of new Jeff. That's not old Jeff. Right? Mm-hmm. Old Jeff was the passive aggressive guy. Next to it, I have a vision board with things on it that are very meaningful to me, words and phrases. And one of the things I have taped up there is a birthday card my son wrote me about 5 years ago. And so I'm going to read it to you. It's real short, but this is my rapid fire answer to your rapid fire question. Sorry. He wrote, Dad, we have had a lot of, man, I haven't read this out loud in a while. I'm getting choked up already.
Yeah.
We have had a lot of great memories together, exclamation mark, wrestling, going to get sushi after church, throwing snowballs at cars and running from the cops. I was so proud when I read that. I thought, how many dads have that note?
Yeah.
And we don't have time to tell that story on this podcast, but, and then he wrote, learning guitar, running in the rain, going to the beach, your funny laugh, back scratches, daddy son night, and most important of all, being together every step of the way. Man, I love you, Dad, and I can't wait to do more fun things with you. Happy birthday. Love your best boy, Jack. Whew. That took a little longer to get through than I had planned. But so I want him to read that to my grandkids, and that'd be a great way to remember me and hopefully who I continue to be, you know, in my kids' lives, not just a birthday card from 5 years ago, obviously.
So. Yeah. No, but that's fantastic. And that just is a great reminder to a lot of dads. Like I didn't hear in there, thanks for taking me to Disney, buying me this. No, it's we threw snowballs at cars, cops, you know, just exactly what you just said of just being present with them.
Yeah.
To where it is, I mean, as dads and as husbands, it's not that complicated, but for some reason we make it so complicated, you know, to where we get stuck in the Instagram world that we have to do these things and go, no, it's just the day by day.
Right.
Being with them, creating this memories to where that's a great answer. I love that of just, here's the simple things dad did to where he can take it and build on it and go, man, this is what grandpa did. Let's do these things to where that's awesome. Yeah. Jeff. I like that.
Thanks. And I love what you just said, man, because you nailed it when it comes to marriage or our relationship with our kids. And my big downfall in marriage, one of them, as I'm sure yours was, I don't have time for all of those little daily touches now or this week, but next month when this changes, next month when this conference is over and my workload lessens. And so it was always, like you said, it was always the vacation or the Disneyland trip in my marriage, at least. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
That I kept thinking, well, one day when, and you know, my wife finally got to the point where she said, I'm not waiting anymore, buddy. I'm not getting any younger and I want to go dancing now. Mm-hmm. I want someone to love me now. I want someone to curl up on the couch with me now, you know? Mm-hmm. So thank you for, I hadn't tied those two together the way you just did, but.
Yeah, nope. It's great. And it's sober, you know, marriage can divorce, but like kids, there's a cutoff of like, hey, 18, they're and it's hopefully you have enough of those things that you just said to where he's like, all right, I can't wait to come back after college, after and go do, hey, dad, and let's do a daddy son, you know, date or time or hang out to where, you're 30. Yeah, now I'm 30. I want to still do it with you. And then I'll, you know, I do it with my, you know, 8 year old it's just a great way to just end it. And that reminder of just being present is just the huge thing. If guys can just begin to do exactly like you said, not next month. No, what can I do today that can begin to build on that is awesome stuff.
Can be small. Yeah. Like you said, can be small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate, man, I could talk to you forever. This has been great stuff. And I know, we'll definitely be in contact. So before you go, books, how can they find you, connect with you? Just what's kind of, where's all that stuff?
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm just kind of stepping back into the digital world. I'm behind the times a little bit. My email is simple. It's jeff@wifemagnet.me. jeff@wifemagnet.me. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. The books are on Amazon. You know, the new book is so new that if you type in the title, it's funny, it comes up on like page 10 still. So if you just type in my name, Jeff, and then my last name is Borko, like B-O-R-K-O, with ski, S-K-I, on the end of it, Borkowski. My books come up, obviously, immediately. I'm probably the only guy with that name on Amazon. So, but yeah, I'd love to hear from anybody in your audience. If there's any way I can better serve one of you guys or send you something, a couple chapters from my book or anything at all, anything at all. I'm just getting ready to release we're doing a beta launch actually next month of my first online course. And it's four guys whose wives have basically just announced, I'm done. And so right now the working title of this online course is, my wife wants a divorce. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very specifically, my books are really for anybody, but this course is just for that guy whose head is spinning and doesn't know what to do. And like me and you possibly, you know, could do all the wrong things and actually push his wife further away.
Mm-hmm.
Which you don't want to do. So email me and I could send you the link to that if that's something you want to be a part of, a beta launch for that. And by beta launch, my class is 80% done. But I was looking at it a few months ago, like, got to finish this. And sorry to take long, JT, this is where I'll wrap it up. I thought 80% of this class done would save anybody's marriage and life.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not going to wait till it's perfect. So instead of selling it for $499, I'm going to sell it right now for $49 and get on the phone, get on Zoom with these guys, this beta launch group every, you know, Wednesday or something for 6 months and just pour into this group of guys. So, and in turn, hopefully they can help me finish the course, you know, hey, I love this, but I would love it if you talked more about this. Anyway, so sorry, that was a long pitch. I didn't even have that planned, but
nope, that's perfect.
Hopefully we can help somebody out there. So
yeah, that's great. Yeah. Well, yeah, thanks again, Jeff. Appreciated your time and enjoyed talking to you. And we'll hopefully be in contact and do this again.
Sounds great, man. Honor to speak to your audience. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Have a good day.
You too, man.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Dad Talks. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment and leave a review. And make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any episodes.